What's exciting about a podcast or any conversation, especially with someone who's different and new to you, is that there's so much to learn, particularly because you don't know about it and haven't cared about it, quite honestly, before now.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. It's your host, Adam A. Adams, and I'm stoked because we have someone super famous on the podcast today. It's kind of cool to have a voice actor, an actor, someone who's been on NBC and ABC and all these cool places. She's got the podcast called Rolanda on Demand. And so if you want to look out for that, I want you to just type in Rolanda, but spelled R-O-L-O-N-D-A. We will actually put that all in the show notes as well. So if like you don't even want to type that out, or if you're driving right now, just scroll down, click on that. And one huge favor, she's had this podcast for the last four years. And what I want you to do is jump in there. After listening to like one or two episodes, give her an honest rating and review. Just let her know what you think of the podcast, what you'd like to hear more of, etc. And I think you're going to be happy to learn from Rolanda today. She is one of the most amazing and incredible at interviewing others because she's got 40 years in doing it. So I'm certain I'll learn a thing or two from her, as I'm only a tenth of the way there. I'm 4 years in. Well, is that a tenth?
I don't know, but right? You know, I've been doing my podcast since 2012.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so, Rolanda, some of the things that I want to extract from you today on the show to help out our listener who's another podcaster. A, I want to talk about our why. So I'll talk about your why. B, I want to talk about struggles that you've had. Just you've learned, you've gone through over time of launching your podcast in 2012. Well, I would love to get into just a couple of tips and tricks about interviewing. And I'm writing all of these down. So we're going to just go in through order of these things. Mm-hmm. Interviewing other people. And finally, I want to talk about branding, because you have built a brand. And don't you own Rolanda.com as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. Let's jump in. Rolanda, what is your why behind the why? How come you have a podcast, started a podcast, what it does for you? And so I'll just turn it over to you.
Yeah, well, I started my podcast back in February of 2012. We were all on Facebook and got the horrific news that Whitney Houston had passed. And the whole world just stopped. Everybody was crying. Everybody was texting on Facebook. And they were talking about join the conversation. And I was like, what conversation? We're texting. And I immediately, having had such a long background in news and talk, immediately wanted to talk about it. And I just felt that that would help America and the world heal. And so I looked around, where could I go? I went to Blog Talk Radio and just started a show. We talked for 3 hours that Sunday. People were crying. They were telling their favorite story. It really bonded. And I just felt that was a great contribution of value to people. And then the next Sunday, people were like, well, you're going to do it again? Are you going to do it again? So what turned out as just a momentary thing turned into every 3 hours on Sunday. And I cannot believe to this day that I was doing this, talking for 3 hours straight about anything on this show that I called Sundays with Rolanda. And when my friends were going to brunch and I would say, no, I've got my show to do, they were like, what are you doing? Well, here all these years later, my podcast has been on CBS. When CBS launched their first podcast, Play.it platform, they've since gone in different directions on that. But also the Mocha Podcast Network I'm working with now. I've also worked with C-Suite Business Network. So Sundays with Rolanda turned into Rolanda on Demand because it's every day, but also because my whole thing has been reinvention. I've done so many different things in my life. I'm an author of a book called Destiny Lingers, which is about to come out in audio, by the way, y'all. So get it now. I'm a talk show host. I had a talk show back in the 90s called Rolanda. I'm a radio and television personality. I'm a voice actor. You hear me from divorce court to Google to Professor Wiseman on Curious George, Legos, Madagascar, a lot of different voice work. And people call me the reinventionist. And so a lot of my podcast is just not only things I'm curious about, but also talking with people about their reinvention journey or highlighting people of such, even pulling some of my old shows from the vault. Like when I spoke with Aretha Franklin, I ran her on her birthday where she cooked with me on my show and I got to sing with her and her background. But she's also talked about going from being a high school dropout to becoming the queen of soul. I mean, how people make their journey through life to become who they are and do the things that they do. Their why is what drives me a lot. And I have a lot of fun people on that podcast. Jane Fonda talking about how she likes to kiss. I mean, I've got Jack Canfield talking about branding, if you're interested in branding. Prison reform, I'm talking with Judge Greg Mathis. Judge Lynn Toler from Divorce Court talks about how her show saved her marriage. So I've got a lot of fun things, sexual Tai Chi. I've got Southern cooking. I mean, it's everything, but it's always encouraging you to try something new, not be afraid to fail, and to celebrate your wins as you are pivoting in life, because life promises you change. And the story you'll tell at the end of the day is how you dealt with all of it.
Speaking of how you dealt with all of it, I want to find out, because that's your why, and that's what you're working on. And that's what you have done. And you've had so many cool people and so many cool conversations and knowledge and information that's coming to everybody. But I'm sure you struggled with something. So that's where I want to go on. The second part is just understanding, like, what's one, two, or three things that you can pinpoint that have been a big challenge with the podcast, regardless if you've overcome it or if you're still working through it. What's a couple of struggles that maybe the listener who's a podcaster needs to know and perhaps avoid?
Well, you know, podcasts are a lot of work. And I don't know about you, but I edit my own. I put in my music, I fade in and I fade out. I do all of that stuff. And I enjoy it. I really do. But then life kicks in and you have other things you have to do. So it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I think one of the things you have to struggle with is figuring out the monetization. You're putting in all of this work and where's the return? We're all looking for ways to monetize. And that, I've been in it a while. That's been a long, slow battle unless you come in from another major radio station and you do a podcast on the side, and you bring that humongous audience. But few of us have 20,000 downloads a show and that type of that, those types of numbers to really drive advertisement. You can advertise other things in your life, your books, your classes. I have a voice acting masterclass. I have a reinvention retreat. I have other things that I do that I'd like to lead people to, but for the most part, that podcast is going to be challenging to make money. It's also challenging to deal with pod fade. It is so real that they made a name for it. They didn't even know what to call these things. They didn't even know what to call them in Podcastville back during the days when I was starting, much less pod fade. We have vocabulary, but it's real that you just get burnt out. You get tired. And so those are some very real things. But part of the challenge is to show up and to be consistent. That's what this is about. And you're not going to see an arc in your listenership until maybe a year, sometimes a year and a half, 2 years before you really start seeing a pop. And then somehow the analytics say they explode or something after that time. But you got to put at least a year in. And that's being consistent every week or every other week or doing the best you can. And we all know life happens and your listeners understand that too, but they want what they want. If they want that candy every Thursday, they want, where's my candy? Where's my candy? So you got to kind of work with your audience so you don't lose them.
With waiting a year or two before kind of getting that spike, I, out of curiosity, did you ever do paid marketing, paid advertising to kind of get that show in front of people that aren't already in your network? And if not, do you think that might be why for a lot of people don't end up getting that result? Maybe lack of marketing it to people that are outside their circle.
Yeah, it could be marketing. I don't know what it is, but whatever they need to do to bring the money in, that's what we need to figure out. I know that we have tried, now that I'm with the Mocha Podcast Network, which is really radio people, we've had some movement in terms of advertisements that I will read. Like in radio, what we do is read for Charmin, let's say. Read an ad for Charmin, or we did a partnership with a group that was talking about mental health. And you would get a little cut off of people who signed up for it, that type of thing. So partnerships. So those are things, but it's a little bit here, a little bit there. And I guess it grows as your audience grows, but it's nothing to write home about.
When you work with a company like that, and that you get a little bit of maybe an affiliate commission or whatever it is, mm-hmm. when you have those type of advertisers or partners of the show, do you feel like you should let the listener know that you get a piece of it? Do you think you, like, what is the balance there when you have somebody that you might make a little bit of money off? How do you let the listener know, or should you not even let?
Well, I think you should always do something for your audience. I mean, it shouldn't just be your gain. The audience, you know, hey, you're going to get 10% off. My listeners are going to get 10% off with this code. So they get something, I get something, the company gets something.
Yeah, that's good. I love that.
Yeah, always work to do something for your listener. I mean, even if the company gives them a free t-shirt, something. People love free stuff when they love discounts. So when your audience feels like they're in on the game, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody likes a little prize.
That's good. That's really good. I want to talk about branding. So I know you had, I'm trying to remember, you said you had on your show Jack Canfield, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you yourself, you got Rolanda.com. There's a lot that you've done. When I was on Clubhouse quite a while ago, I saw you sneak into the room and then everybody freaks out, right? Everybody's like, oh my gosh, look who's on. Oh, the listener is also a podcaster. They're probably wanting to grow their brand. What are some of the tips, tricks, or strategies that you've learned over the last 40-ish years, four decades of being in this business, that helps you to get that name recognition over time?
Well, it certainly helps to have been in front of a camera and behind a mic for 40 years in my business and different businesses, whether it's acting or stand-up comedy, or it's voice acting, or it's talk shows, or anchoring the news, or even Inside Edition. I have just built a lot of different audiences. And one, you know, there's just, back in the day, my show was the only show that was hosted by one name. They wanted the LA market, and my last name is Watts, and they felt that Watts meant something different out in LA. So they dropped my last name. Can you believe it? So my show was Rolanda. So I was automatically a brand. Back in that day, it was Rolanda, Cher, and Madonna were the only three people known by one name. Every other, all the talk shows had their full name. So I was a brand before I even knew. And I think it's the consistency that has made the brand. What you see is what you get. You know, if you see Rolanda, the brand, whether it's a podcast or she's in a show or she's doing comedy, you pretty much know what you're getting. I'm a pretty open book. But that has been really a good thing, and protecting the integrity of that brand. They had to make a lot of tough decisions, even in doing my talk show. What kind of talk shows are you going to do? Are you going to do those shows where pop quiz on babies and, you know, people throwing chairs and murdering people? No, that's not my brand. I don't do that. So being integrity, really having the integrity to your brand. And also what Jack Canfield talks about, what I would also share, is just being authentically you. Ask the questions that you would want to know the answer to. And everybody will learn that you have a different take, that you have a different angle you come at things. Even back in the news, people knew that if you sent me out on a story, I was going to come out not with your typical story. I'm coming back, I'm going to Rolandize it. And that's what made me popular and award-winning. So I think the more you, some people suggest, find a niche, find your niche and stick with it. When you're known already, you can do pretty much what you want to do because people are tuning into your personality. And remember that too, they tune in for you. We get so bogged down on booking the right interview and whatever is our music going to sound like that you just forget people are tuning in to hear what you want to say. And sometimes a podcast will work. This is what I'm trying to do more of. A podcast will work with just you talking about something that's important to you. People want to hear that. People want to know about that. And bringing in some of your personal life those are ways to brand yourself too.
So many good takeaways. Honestly, I love that. Love that. What about your own network? Is there, if the answer is no, that's not the route to go, or that doesn't work, let us know. As I'm thinking about this, sometimes it's a lot of who you know, who we know, the network, the connections that we make over time. If that's the case, and that may have benefited you, how would the listener make sure that they're making key connections in their network?
How do you make sure you're making key connections?
I guess it's a two-part question, because I'm first wondering if you making connections with certain people, like maybe you reached out to ABC or NBC like 100 times, or you knew somebody inside of Fox or whatever it is, you know what I mean? If there is a tangible in your story where because you knew the right person and had the right relationship, it helped to propel you and get you to the next level. If that's the case, would you be able to share that with the listener in a way that can help them to know how to make those connections?
I just know a lot of people based on what I do. That helps a lot. But also, just there are times where, like, if I'm on Clubhouse and I see somebody who's into some kind of strange therapy, I mean, that's interesting to me. I'll reach out to them. That's a way to network. Something that's just interesting. It doesn't have to be a big celebrity. Or it could be a celebrity like Jackie Reed. She's on NBC, on New York Live on NBC. She's been on television. You've seen her. But she's interests me because she's a vegan. And she went vegan because after her dog died, she was so distraught that we could eat little animals as sweet as her dog that she went totally vegan. So I just wanted to do journalism to veganism and talk to her. And it wasn't so much about talking with her about her TV career, but just the interesting reinvention of the way we approach food and the reinvention of the way we eat. And her reason why she was doing it. When you really start thinking about stuff like that, you start making little different choices. So it could be anything that leads you into a network of people. I think Clubhouse has been very beneficial for people to meet people outside of their own circle. And people you see on the news, they all have PR people. People you read in a magazine, look up and find out who their PR people are, or how you can read their, you know, who their publicists are. And just reach out. Most people who have a book to sell or a class to sell or whatever are happy to come and talk to you. So understand that people have an agenda as well and may work very well with your podcast.
Very interesting. Can I assume, or can I not assume, that you're not vegan yourself?
No, but I've made a lot more vegan choices. No, I love a good steak, honey. You take me to Mastro's Steakhouse and it's on and popping. But so, I tell you this, I've tried the Impossible Burger. It's wonderful. I eat a lot more Brussels sprouts without bacon. I have made major different choices. No question.
Cool. So my thought is, when you're not vegan and somebody comes on your podcast or on your show and they are vegan, you made this connection on Clubhouse or wherever, but you're asking questions and you aren't already there. Like, how do you do that in a way where it's a comfortable conversation? Your guest doesn't feel like you're judging them, or they don't feel like you're offending them because you're not vegan or whatever. Like, what are some tips or tricks to interviewing different people from different walks of life, connecting with people that you might be able to pour into us as newer podcasters wanting to get to that level?
Well, I think you just be totally transparent. Like, I always started off, listen, let me be totally transparent. I love a good steak. And the thought of not eating meat ever again is just crazy to me. But I am starting to see the benefits. I mean, it's just not health benefits. It's benefit for the earth. It's just a kinder, gentler way to do things. I mean, but I think the backstory is always interesting. The least common denominator that is important to find the subjects you're interviewing. I mean, we both love a good meal. How in the world can you do a good Christmas Thanksgiving meal with no meat? You know, and I'm just going to be honest with you. And then let them start to talking. And then the next thing you're knowing about cashew meat and Impossible Burgers and Beyond Beef. And you're learning things. What's exciting about a podcast or any conversation, especially with someone who's different and new to you, is that there's so much to learn, particularly because you don't know about it and haven't cared about it, quite honestly, before now. And this is really an interesting conversation. And I think your listeners enjoy you discovering stuff, too. I think that's, you don't have to be the know-it-all all the time. You're very curious about stuff, too. And yeah. I think that's a good way to get people engaged.
Is there a correct balance as you yourself are curious about a topic and genuinely curious about a new person? And on the other side, making sure that your questions add value and keep your listener engaged and attentive to what's going on in the podcast so they can have a takeaway. Is there a way for a newer interviewer to understand, like, how do I know when to ask a question because I want to know? And how do I make sure that I'm asking the question that my listener needs to know?
Right. Well, you and your listeners should have a lot in common, I would think. They probably want to know the same thing you know. You know, half the time I ask a good question and inevitably people say, I was thinking the same thing. I almost threw a shoe at the television and then thank God you asked what I was wanting to ask. I think that that's it. Being engaged in the conversation. I think, you know, of course you do your research and you know who you're talking to and you get an idea of a direction that you want to go in. But, you know, just really be engaged in the conversation. And follow-up questions are very important. Just don't ask a question and leave it hanging. That's where the meat is. You follow up. It's like, what color do you like? I like yellow. All right. Well, what'd you have for dinner yesterday? I mean, come on, talk about the yellow a little bit. I mean, give me something here. Just don't leave conversations dangling. So find things that you're interested in. Don't make a list of 20 questions to get through. Then you're just going to be bulleting people and people don't enjoy that. But to be able to engage in a conversation where the whole interview goes so quickly that you don't even realize that you've been talking and laughing and having a good time. That's more engaging for an audience to watch, for a guest to participate in, and for a host to conduct, is when you are having fun and you're being natural and you're being yourself, other than just reading off questions and answering questions and go, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I would say there's a lot of podcasters today that have a list of 5, 6, 10 questions that they ask every guest, and many just ask like one question. And then it goes right into the next question. And so what you're saying is after you ask a question, dive deeply. And my first thought goes to, what if that makes your podcast way too long? Like you had 5 questions, but because you keep diving deep into, I had 5 things that I wanted to talk about today. Your why, your struggle, how to interview, branding, and then just best advice for like a new person. And I could easily go, why did you do it? Okay, what did you struggle with? Okay, interview, and not dive a little bit deeper, and maybe the podcast would be 20 minutes. But if I ask too many follow-up questions, I'm saying too many, we could be on the same topic for 30 minutes, like diving deep into the deep of interviewing. So is there like a happy medium? Is there a way to control that interview so that it's the length that you're looking for and you still are able to follow up?
Yeah, well, timing is important. You got to have your timing down, especially when you start getting advertisers involved and all of that kind of production and stuff. But yeah, maybe all the questions you have aren't important to ask. Maybe you don't need to ask all those questions. And maybe I know that my interviews are very organic. I don't write down questions. I just have a conversation. I know where I'm going to go. I know what I'm interested in, but I always find I find more interesting things than I don't ask. But I've been in the business for a long time. I'm a journalist, so I kind of keep it all in my head. But I don't stick to the page. I just have a really good conversation, knowing in my head the boundaries of what I want to go, what I'm going in there to get. And an overall view of what we're going to talk about. But I think it's those little morsels that you don't expect. It's keeping it so organic that you're learning as you're going. It's one thing leads to the other. And it allows you to listen, because a talk show person, their greatest skill is listening, not talking. So it allows you to listen so that you can engage and ask that follow-up question, or
Listen for moments when they're going to say something that you know is going to be exclusive. You've got to allow some time to let that happen too. But those are things that take practice and time. You just don't walk in there getting it. That takes time. It takes a lot of practice and time. You'll read The Art of the Interview by Larry King. That's a good one.
The Art of the Interview by Larry King.
By Larry King. It's an oldie, but it's a goodie. And
we'll make sure
one of the best.
That resource is in the show notes. So if you're listening right now and you want to connect with that, just scroll down. That's already there. Also, Rolanda's podcast, Rolanda On Demand, the link to that is already in the show notes. So you could just scroll right down and you'd be able to connect with her and all that. So Rolanda, I want to ask you, with all of your experience of 4 decades, what advice would you give outside of what we may have already shared that can support a brand new podcaster to be able to be successful in this?
Just have fun and really book people that really turn you on, that are going to help show your personality. A lot of times we produce to make, like in talk shows, we'll produce for the host to make the host look good. So who's going to bring that bubbly personality out in you? Who's going to bring that smart side out of you? Book people that are going to help make you look good too. And get on other people's podcasts. That's going to help you promote your own podcast, is by being on other podcasts, talking about your podcast.
Yeah.
So be sure to use that as a tool. And the main thing is just be really engaged and have fun and listen as much as you can, because that's what the audience is enjoying. They're enjoying a great exchange, and it's as if they're just sticking their head into your room and listening to you. So have fun. Have fun. Stay engaging.
Is there, like with you and your show, do you consciously think about, hey, I need to insert some humor, or hey, I need to make sure that, is there any thought like that when you're doing your podcast?
Oh yeah. There are times to insert humor, and I do that. I like to do that anyway. I'm a little irreverent sometimes, and being a comedian, I can't help it. There's things that are just there. But yeah, it helps the flow of the conversation. I think one of the things people enjoy about my podcast is we laugh a lot. We have a lot of fun on that podcast, and that's a lot of fun. But yeah, or there are times to get serious. On a serious note, let's talk about this, and then drop into some statistics and get into, but that's what life is. Life is 1 minute we're laughing, and the next minute we're like shaking our head about what's going on in the news, and the next minute we're screaming at the government. I mean, that's what life is about. So your podcast should have all different shades of life and living and talking and sharing.
You mentioned also getting on other people's podcast as a piece of value to deliver to a new podcaster. How have you found ways of getting on other people's podcasts that might help us to be able to get on more shows?
Well, part of my branding is really talking about reinvention. That's something that people have watched me do, just totally change my career, totally change my look, and constantly reinvent myself successfully. So I was talking about this before COVID. And then when COVID hit, it became what everybody was talking about. So that way I got booked on a lot of shows, just talking about the art of reinvention and the power of change and helping people get through this tough time. It's also part of that trying something new is so many people want to try voice acting. And my voice acting career, people have come to me saying, like, teach me, what can you tell me about working at home business, a business I can do till I'm 100,000 years old? It's fun. I've always been told I have a nice voice. I'm like, no, you need to come to my class because it's all about acting and you need to learn about acting. But it's being able to just help people try something new. And podcasting has been huge during the pandemic as part of the whole reinvention mode. Also, everybody's moving into podcasting thinking they're going to be the next Barbara Walters or or whoever.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about everything that you've done and been around. You've been on voice.
All right, Adam, I've been around a little bit. I've been around the block a few times.
I didn't mean it like that.
Oh, Arnie. Yeah.
I didn't mean it like that. I know that you've done so many cool things. I know you've done a lot. You've had a lot of cool experiences. In all of that, what is the one thing that you're most proud of, Rolanda?
Oh, my goodness. I think the integrity that I was able to show all of the people that I interviewed, I would hope. You know, I've just brought some great stories to life and stories that have not only entertained people, but that helped change laws and help wake up people to things that were going on. Back in the 80s, I did the first story on pedophilia, child molestation. And that was back when people didn't want to talk about that during the dinner hour, but we did. And we see where we've come with the awareness after that. Covering stories that weren't easy to cover, women behind bars and parents of kids who murdered people, talking with people to bring out the humanity. And I'm really proud of that, that I've respected people's stories. I haven't ambushed people with the power of my hours on television and have brought excellence to each craft that I've chosen, I hope that people will say. But I think storytelling is the one thing that goes all the way through. It's a thread that drives through, whether it's the podcast or a talk show or a stand-up comedy set, or it's all storytelling. And maybe at the end of the day, they'll say, boy, she could tell some good stories. In New York, they used to say, you do good death, because I would cover those murder stories and make people cry and make people really understand who died today, not just three bleb, but really bringing humanity to stories. And I think that's what I'm known for.
I have learned definitely through this podcast interview today, and I hope the listener has some really good takeaways.
Yeah, for it's fun. Just well. Stick with it. Stick with it. It's trying. It's tough. But it's worth it in the end. And you'll have great content that will outlive you.
If you're listening and you've resonated with Rolanda, I would find her podcast, Rolanda On Demand. And you'll find that just by scrolling down as well. You can click the link. And if you're looking for launching a podcast or just growing a podcast that you already have, offloading some of the hard stuff, we can help you. Just go to growyourshow.com and schedule a call with me. Rolanda, thank you so much for spending the time and giving us the value, the stories, and all the tangibles that we got from you today. I really appreciate it.
Sounds good. I had fun, Adam. Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.